In this episode of Middle East Files, the Arab media scene, a rising cost of propaganda from satellite television to the World Wide Web. Has it become a launching pad for the promotion of Western culture? Is there a vicious mission? The multiple smokescreens of media monopoly in this edition of Middle East Files.
Hello, welcome to this edition of Middle East Files. This week's episode will give you a look at the ins and outs of the media industry.
Transition in the past between state television and satellite television. A commercial market evolved in the early days of satellite television, which was monopolized by big investments from two oil-rich states, specifically Saudi Arabia and Qatar. The evolution of Arab television has also shifted over time, from being controlled by individual states to a handful of rich individuals. Before the advent of satellite television, static white noise dominated the airwaves across the Arab world. Most countries had a single state-operated television channel that would operate for a limited time each day. The programming for all channels followed a similar pattern targeting the entire family. It was just impossible to enter the terrestrial television market. In 1991, the first privately owned Arabic language satellite channel was launched in London. NBC Television targeted a pan-Arab audience with entertainment and news programs. The NBC group has since grown to multiple channels and continues to attract high viewership across the region. The founder and chairman of the group since its inception is Saudi billionaire Waleed Al Brahim. Al Brahim is the brother-in-law of the late King Fahd of Saudi Arabia. A number of private channels followed suit with varying degrees of success. Beirut hosted a number of these networks. The Saudi-owned Arab radio and television network was launched in 1993. It was a leader in Arabic language entertainment, with a number of channels dedicated to music, movies, and sports. However, the high-spending Saudi royal Al-Waleed bin Talal swept through that music market with his Rotana brand. The sports market would succumb to Al Jazeera's empire, which would become beIN Sports. The early competition in the entertainment television market was not matched in the news market. One name dominated the Arabic language news market, Al Jazeera. The Qatari-owned network started broadcasting from Doha in 1996. For over a decade, the channel's popularity continued growing due to its unrivaled coverage across the Arab world. The U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq put the network on the global stage. Al Jazeera aired the little-seen images of the victims of these invasions, prompting the rage of U.S. and British officials. But all good things must end. Al Jazeera's reign over Arabic news was challenged by a number of newcomers in the past decade. The network's perceived bias towards the Muslim Brotherhood during the period of the Islamic Awakening doomed the channel's credibility across the region. Al Jazeera's fall opened the competition for Arabic news viewers. Countries with interests in the region have launched their own Arabic news outlets. Qatar is launching a new news channel to distance itself from what was once its biggest foreign policy tool.
Shut shedding more light on the media industry here in the Arab world is Dr. Joseph Hajamand. He is an associate professor of media communications at NDU. Dr. Joseph, let's begin about talking about the differences, if you want, between state television and satellite television. And in your opinion, Dr. Joseph, has satellite television maybe allowed breaking monopoly for state-operated television?
Historically speaking, all nations, all governments, especially in the third world, had a monopoly on the electronic media, particularly television and radio. They always say if there's a coup d'etat, a military coup, usually the new guys take over the airport and then take over the radio and television stations because they know how important these two media outlets are for the public and for the people in power. So historically, especially in the third world, radio and TV used to be a kind of like a private ownership, okay, by the leaders of those countries. Now the difference is, it's a huge difference. The difference is now there's no control. There's no control over the content, no control over the airwaves. You simply cannot stop the floodgate, okay, of communication, of information, so to speak. Simply satellite television allows for plurality, allows for opposition groups, allows for propaganda, allows for anything. And simply, the governments have no control anymore over the airwaves, in addition to other reasons as well. In Lebanon, for instance, if I can give you an example, in Lebanon used to have only one TV station for so long, from 1959 until 1958, technically, when Voice of Lebanon started beaming its signals, and then it stopped at the end of the Civil War of 1958, and then it came back again in 1975. But up until 1981, we only had the Lebanon's TV station. And Lebanon, now look at what's happening around us now. In Lebanon, for instance, this small country, we have no less than 10 TV stations.
These are just locally, too.
Definitely. And then we have access to hundreds, literally hundreds of TV stations from all over the world. Media may also stir emotion, may add fuel to the fire, may bring animosities among nations and among people. The media is a double-edged sword. It can be great and it can also be destructive at the same time.
Arabic satellite channels beaming across the Middle East. Therefore, we see a wide variety of programming available, from channels aimed at glorifying extremist Takfiri groups in Syria to silly SMS channels. The flood of channels and money is believed to inflate the cost of entry into the industry, as well as eliminate the independent media.
Scan of the television satellites servicing the Arab-speaking countries yields hundreds of channels, but do they all have viewers? According to the general director of the NBC group, they don't. Ali Jaber said in 2011 that the 1,100 Arabic language channels that broadcast on satellite lose $6 billion a year.
They lose every year close to $5.5 to $6 billion every year.
A very small number of these channels get ratings, and even they struggle to cover their operating costs. Some cases of financial failure are well documented. Arab radio and television were forced to downgrade their operation by closing a number of channels. Another Arab television giant, Rotana, was forced to sell shares to investors. The global television villain Rupert Murdoch stepped up. In 2009, Murdoch's News Corp purchased a fifth of the cash-strapped Rotana. This move gave the Fox brand an entry into the Arabic television market. In the same year, the two biggest pay television networks in the region merged together. Orbit and Showtime formed OSN, which is based in the United Arab Emirates. However, the commercial venture continued to struggle in the Arabic market. Recent moves show a shift in focus in the company towards the Southeast Asian market. While some channels in the Arabic market are openly subsidized by governments, others are financed by wealthy businessmen and aspiring politicians. These deep pockets have created a market where funders have more impact on programming than customers. According to Ali Jaber, the market generates $1 billion in revenues, but the channels currently in the market cost $7 billion to operate. In an industry where costs of production are already high, this inflated market makes it impossible for independent operators to survive. So if the funders want to push their viewers at the expense of quality programming, the Arab viewer has no choice but to watch what's available.
Shedding more light on the media industry here in the Middle East is media expert Mr. Muwafaq Harib. Mr. Muwafaq, as you know, here in the Middle East, we have multiple channels, maybe one too many, as they say. And at the same time, sometimes we see the same parties investing in the same types of channels. Why so, in your opinion? Isn't this some kind of loss?
Definitely. It's one of the most difficult things is to write a feasibility study or a business plan for a media or a television channel in the Middle East, because the commercial revenues cannot sustain more than 10 channels. So there must be a reason and why these channels are spreading and mushrooming. I think we're talking about political subsidies here. And most of the channels, and I'm talking about the main networks in the Middle East, are subsidized and supported by either a political party, an ideology, or a government. And therefore, the number of television channels that are not consistent, and it doesn't make sense if you look at the commercial revenues in the industry and the whole market, to see that they are not compatible with the number of channels that exist in the Middle East. So this is one of the unique situation in the world where you have a lot of television channels. They keep their number keep increasing. At the same time, the size of the advertising pie is shrinking.
In your opinion, Mr. Harib, then why are such television channels, businesses, politicians, etc., investing in, if you want, losing money? They're just losing business.
They're trying to buy influence. And as you know, media is one of the ruling tool. And in the 50s and the 60s, every time we had a coup d'etat, the first thing an army would do is to seize the radio and television headquarters. So it is implanted in the mind of the audience, and at the same time as the ruling elite, that if you want to control, you have to control the media. But recently things are changing because of the advent in technology. It is so easy to have a television channel. It's so easy to have a newspaper. It's so easy to, and it's no longer costly, and you don't need governments to support a media venture. So that's why I see the media landscape changing. We're starting to see signs of that, but it's still, the industry is controlled by few investors, as you have mentioned.
So then how does maybe one compete in this market, if you want, flooded by evaporating funds? And at the same time, how hard is it for independent operators to survive?
First of all, when we talk about the media, it's not yet an industry in the Middle East. If you want to call it an industry, it has to be independent. You have to have certain indicators whereby we can judge the media. But the recent development in the Middle East, especially in the past 5-6 years, led to a new phenomenon.
Window, a new online stream has been gaining ground with the advent of the internet. A new platform opened up for low-cost entry into the media market. With the ease of access to the internet, it has made it more popular than television. Our third file will show you attempts to monopolize print and online platforms.
Decades after the arrival of satellite television, a new platform is making inroads into Arabic-speaking audiences. internet penetration rates reach 90% in countries like Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, and the UAE. 40 million Egyptians and 15 million Saudis have access to the World Wide Web today. Satellites orbiting in space continue to beam news and entertainment into Arab homes. But the virtual space is the new frontier. Just like the satellite television market, online revenues in the Middle East fail to meet costs of operating a proper news site. And again, the usual suspects are stepping up to cover the deficit. While personal blogs have allowed for independent voices to be heard, news organizations dominate the readership rankings on the web. This applies globally and in Arabic-speaking countries. Just like with the Al Jazeera venture, Qatar again is generously investing in an online news presence. In the past year, Qatar has purchased the London-based Al Quds Al Arabi newspaper. It also funded a new Beirut-based e-paper called Al Mudun. On March 30, 2014, a pan-Arab newspaper and website launched out of London with Qatari funding. Other high-budget news websites like Now Media and Al Monitor can be directly linked to business interests with clear political affiliations. With the sheer number of websites and their lower operational costs, it is harder to track their funding. However, the premises of inflating the market by flooding it with cash is strongly evident. Shedding more light on the World Wide Web is Mr. Peter Speechens, and he is a journalist. Mr. Peter, do you think there's any chance of the World Wide Web or this online media that we hear about maybe replacing satellite television?
Maybe, yes, at some point. But first of all, there is a kind of age gap. So the older generation still relies a lot on TV, and the younger generation is picking up with modern devices. I think at a certain point, more and more people, like these young people, will use their small devices to see parts of TV programs and no longer follow one particular broadcaster, for example. But one to replace the other would be difficult, because the World Wide Web by itself doesn't produce content. For example, a news program needs to be produced by a broadcasting company, by a firm. You can upload your blog or your video alone, but if you want to make a documentary or etc., you will have to have an organization doing so. So maybe they will go hand in hand. I mean, part of the TV broadcasting companies will use the internet to broadcast. Well, let's start with the so-called Arab Spring. On the one hand, yes, social media played a very important role, and at the same time, I feel sometimes that role has been overrated. Especially the West was very keen on calling this a Facebook revolution and emphasizing especially the more liberal youngsters, technologically savvy, etc. That was the stereotype they liked to emphasize in the Western media. By now, some of the most conservative elements in Kuwait and Saudi Arabia have discovered their virtues too. And we see, for example, very conservative Kuwaiti sheikh calling for supporting of rebels in Iraq and Syria with 3.4 million Twitter followers. We have complete TV channels in Saudi Arabia that, let's say, produce very nasty language about other Muslim minorities, to give you an example. A lot of these rebel groups have Facebook sites and websites and all that stuff.
The market is set to cost 700% more to run than it does to launch. 1,100 television stations across the Arab world cost $7 billion a year to run and lose $6 billion a year of that sum. Billions of dollars are spent not only on political propaganda, but on useless entertainment and cultural destruction. The media industry has proven to be a monopoly where the cost of production is high, which has made it impossible for independent operators to survive. That's all for this edition of Middle East Files. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.